If you have your Bibles, you want to turn to 1 Peter. It's 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. We'll see how far we get today. I hope we can get through it. I'll kind of speed it up as much as I can. So 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 13. I said in this sermon that you have a call from God. One of the things that we have been unfortunately conditioned to, okay, am I missing something? One of the things that we have been conditioned to these days, how many of you get robocalls?
Everybody.
What do you do with them? You hang up or you ignore them, okay? We do the same thing. By the way, if you have a cell phone, there's a great program called Hiya that will block those calls. Hiya, I'll tell you later. But you can block those calls. But it's amazing how bold these robocalls can be. You hang up on them, they'll call right back sometimes. My question this morning is, what do we do when we receive a call from God? Do we hang up on him? Do we block him? And some heads are shaking no, but don't be so soon to make the judgment until you hear the passage. And I have to reiterate this because I believe, and you can take me to task on this if you want, and that's fine, but not today, it's Father's Day, call me during the week. I believe that God's been trying to get our attention as a country for a long time. I also believe that God is trying to get the attention of people in churches for a long time. And so may be bold enough to say that sometimes we don't take the call, or sometimes we'll just ignore it. Sometimes. I'll let you be the judge of that. Peter makes it very clear in this passage that in view of God's grace and mercy, all Christ's followers are called to be holy. There's no exemptions here. I'm going to be very honest with you. I am a little bit tired of hearing that, well, some are called to be disciples, which means a learner or a grower, and some are not. That is simply not biblically true. We are all called to be disciples, whether you respond to the call or not. Boy, that's up to you. I can tell you this. When we choose to hang up on God or ignore him, he's still going to get the message through one way or the other. So it only works for a while, but he will get the message through. Would you follow along with me as we unpack this? Therefore, Peter says, based on, by the way, what comes before, and he said that we have our hope, a secure hope in God through faith in Jesus Christ, and that hope is guarded for us by the power of God himself. It says, therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober. And I need to retranslate that for you because this is a good translation, but here would be a better translation of the original language. Therefore, with minds that are proactive and ready to move. Proactive and ready to move and fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. That would be a better reading here. Because we can't do this ourselves. Fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. One of the things I think in our culture that we have caught in the church is we've become very passive, very, generally speaking, very spectator-oriented rather than being proactive in the pursuit of holiness. And when we try it on our own, we fail because this is saying that we need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he says, with these minds that are ready to go, ready to pursue holiness, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at the coming. That's talking about Jesus' second coming. In other words, we are not called to sit and do nothing until Jesus comes. We are called to pursue holiness until Jesus comes. Look at the next line. As obedient children, do not, what's the word?
Conform.
Say it like you're alive. Do not
conform.
Be pressed into, is another way of saying it, the evil desires you had when you didn't know any better, when you lived in ignorance. Listen, all you had to do was turn on the news this morning and see that we live in a pretty evil culture and society. At an art festival, 20 were shot in Trenton, right down the road. And you say, well, that can't happen here. Yeah, it can. Okay? We live in a polluted culture. Culture in itself is not bad. It's what people do with it that makes it polluted and evil. We live in a polluted culture. The question then comes up, how do we live as holy people in a polluted culture? Well, the answer to that as Christ's followers is that we need to be obedient to God in the power of the Holy Spirit and pursue holiness. I'll get into the details of this, but I want to address our students for a second. And I mean this with all my heart. What you are getting in school a lot of times is not good. What you're hearing in the culture and the media is not good. I will tell you why. Because you are hearing that you should tolerate things that God cannot tolerate. You are hearing that there are lifestyles that are acceptable, that really aren't acceptable. You are hearing that you need to behave a certain way if you want to be popular and accepted. I want to say to you this, and I hope you listen. It takes more courage to live for God than it does to do the wrong things. Does that make sense? It takes more courage. Now, the power can come from God if you are obedient to Him and you yield, but He'll help you do the right things. I am passionate about this because I see what's happening in the schools. I see how promiscuity, how the language. You want an education? Substitute in the middle school, and you'll learn more vocabulary than you thought you ever knew. Okay? Language. People will come up to me, especially after a message, and say, Pastor, language doesn't really show a person's heart. Or, yes, it does. Proverbs tells me that. My own life tells me that. Language counts. I hear language out of students that should never be there. Because that's a telltale sign of what's in our hearts. Parents, you're not off the hook either. Because what you say in the house matters. And I'll get into some of the details of this. But listen to me. When somebody in Hollywood can get up at an award ceremony and speak about a sitting president using the words that he used, we're in trouble. We are in trouble. Does he have freedom to speak? Absolutely. But freedom brings responsibility. To use those words in public, and not only that, then get a standing ovation for it. We're losing respect. We're losing respect for God. We're losing respect for each other. We're losing respect for the church, for any places of worship. We're losing respect. This is a bad situation. As obedient children, don't be conformed to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. I love technology. I really do. But people can hide behind technology. And people can use technology for all sorts of evil things. When you do stuff online that is not good, it's not honoring to God, you know what? It never goes away. It never goes away. Why would you put yourself in that situation? As obedient children, don't be conformed to the evil desires you had when you didn't know any better. But just as you were called, here's the call, He who called you is holy, so be holy in some of the things you do. Is that what it says? All the things you do. For it is written, Be holy because, what does God say? I am holy. Whoa. Well, Pastor, I can't do that. You're right. But with the help of the Word and the Holy Spirit, you can. And we're not going to get instantly holy overnight. It's a process. And it doesn't happen by osmosis. You need to read the Word. You need to be praying. You need to be worshiping. You need to every morning say, Lord, am I going to serve you today? Or am I going to let the world press me back into its mold? Every one of you know how easy that can happen. Every one of you know that. Well, you don't understand the workplace. Yes, I do. I worked for 20 years in the workplace. Let me ask you a question. Do you dare to be different? Sincerely different to follow Christ? Well, you don't know the peer pressure at school. Yeah, I do. Do you dare to have courage and do the right thing? And let God help you do it. We need to have minds that are proactive and fully controlled by the Holy Spirit. Why? Because we're accountable to God. Listen to verse 17. Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners, aliens, here with in reverent fear. Let me just unpack that a little bit for you. It says, since we call on God, who judges all of us impartially, live out your time, whatever days he gives us here, in reverence to him. Reverence. This is not a cowering big brother thing. This is a holy reverence because God is holy. And because God is holy, he expects us to pursue holiness. Reverence. You know, I carry the title Reverend. You know what that means? Does anybody know what that means? Respect. That's what it means. Respect. You heard me say before, our respect is broken down between parent, child, child, parent, authority figures, law enforcement, political figures. We don't even know how to talk to each other civilly anymore. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver and gold, that you were redeemed. Redeemed from where? Redeemed means what? Purchased back. Purchased back from this polluted world. God didn't use silver and gold, but he used the precious blood of Jesus Christ to redeem us out of this polluted world. A lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for our sake. Listen to what he goes on to say. Through him, you believe in God, who raised Jesus from the dead and glorified him, so that your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other. Oh, I'm going too fast. Is obedience to the word and the power of the Holy Spirit, the truth. By the way, truth still does exist. It's here. Truth still does exist. And I don't care what you're being taught in school. I don't care what Oprah's saying. I don't care what Hollywood's saying. The truth is here. Remember years ago there was X-Files? The truth is out there. We will go to all sorts of excess to find the truth when God's made it available right here. Now that you have been purified by obeying the truth, so that you may have sincere love. You know what that means? That means a love that's without hypocrisy. That means that as God enables me, and as I grow in Christ, as you grow in Christ, we can love each other with sincere hearts. Sincere hearts. Not just a plastic smile. Not just spouting off Christianese. But with sincere hearts. Love one another superficially. What's it say? Come on, are you alive? Love one another deeply. from the heart. Jesus said it the best when he said, they'll know you follow me by your love for one another. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Look at verse 24. It quotes the Old Testament. All people are like grass, and all their glory is like a flower of the field. Grass withers, flowers fall, but the word of God, of the Lord, endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Don't let anybody ever tell you the Bible's antiquated. Don't let anybody ever tell you the Bible doesn't apply today. Don't let anybody ever tell you that you have to interpret the Bible by today's standards. You know what happens? You look at our culture over the years. It's easy to see. We're going the way of every other empire in the world. What we have done was keep low, culturally speaking, we keep lowering the bar more and more every year. Who set the bar? God. His bar never moves. But we have decided, well, Lord, everybody's doing it, so it's okay. You'll understand. But Lord, that's so old-fashioned. People don't have to get married anymore. They can just live together. You mean sexual relationships outside of marriage is wrong? That's so old-fashioned. Honor your mother and father? We don't do that anymore. Treasure life? We still do abortion on demand. I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I'm bringing you through this fast because I know you want to go barbecue. Here comes the tough part. You ready for this? Therefore, in light of what was said before, therefore, literally speaking, strip yourselves of all malice. You know what malice is? Malice is what happened at those awards when this actor stood up and bashed the sitting president. I don't care if he was a Republican or Democrat. Whoever the sitting president is deserves respect. His office deserves respect. And yet we put up with this and applaud it? Malice. Malice is speaking ill of other people with the intent to harm. In some churches, as soon as the pastor pronounces the benediction, it's, let's go roast the pastor now. That's malice. And if you have kids in the car, you know who picks up on it. I mean, I'm giving you subtle examples here. Strip yourself of all malice. Oh, boy, that's hard to do. Yeah, but God can help. And all deceit. On our best days, if we're honest enough, our motives are not 100% pure. We still want our own way. We need to understand that and help God to remove deceit for us. You know what hypocrisy is? What's hypocrisy? Two-faced. The word here, it was used of actors during Jesus' time. And what it means, the original word means this, someone who is empty inside, who looks different on the outside but is empty on the inside. Hypocrisy means there's a lack of sincerity, a lack of genuineness. Envy. Oh. You know this is what most advertisers play on? Oh, gee, so-and-so got a new Cadillac. I deserve one. Oh, look at that house. Yeah. Listen, for a Christ follower, nothing is going to compare to the mansion that's waiting for us. Nothing. this side of heaven. I'm not saying if you're blessed with nice things, you shouldn't be blessed with it. That's fine. But there is envy. Oh. Envy and jealousy are interchangeable, aren't they? You ever get jealous of somebody else? Don't lie in church. Slander of every kind. We live in a culture of slander. It's got to stop. And even in the church, we live in a culture of slander. Slander of every kind. Slander is just saying bad things about people, trying to ruin their reputations. And listen, this is not a suggestion. This is written in command language. Therefore, get rid of this stuff. I worked in a gas station when I was in high school, and I would come home with more grease than the car had. And I couldn't wait to get out of those dirty clothes and get in the shower. Couldn't wait. I just didn't like being greased up like that, feeling that dirty and all of that. I couldn't wait. This is the same picture here. These things make us filthy. And it's saying, get rid of them because you've been cleaned with the blood of Christ. Confess. Repent. Ask God to help you in any of these areas. Then he says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that you may grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted the Lord is good. Listen, and I want to talk to the kids right now too. If you think doing something wrong is good, it's going to end up coming back to haunt you in some way. But when you obey the Lord and you do what's right in the power of the Lord and in the power of the Word of God, then you're going to taste to see that God is good and that He's right and that He honors. One of the things I always tell, especially my high school and college and careers group, is that if somebody wants you to do something that you know is wrong, then they're not your friend. And if they say no, if they say put pressure on you, and when you say no, then you know what? Maybe it's time to find a new friend. But parents, the same thing applies to us. The same thing applies to us. Every one of us has a call to holiness, who are Christ followers. Every one of us needs to rid ourselves of all malice, deceit, hypocrisy, envy, slander of every kind. And when we use foul language, that's the way it comes out. That's the way it comes out. When Mary Lou worked in the high school right here in Lacey, correct me if I get the story wrong, but she was learning words and right in the open, in the hallways. And one of the teachers said, well, you can't say anything, that's just their vocabulary. Yeah. And we accept it. There was a young lady on a boardwalk, one of the nice days we had early in the spring. Mary Lou and I went up to Point Pleasant Boardwalk, just sitting there, and there was a young lady walking around, she had a heart on the back of her jacket, windbreaker. And I thought, oh, maybe she's in the medical field or something like that, and had all the names of the arteries and all that stuff. But around the fringe was something pretty vulgar. I can't even repeat it here. But I can tell you, it was vulgar. And that's acceptable? See, out of the mouth reveals what's in the heart. One of the banks does a commercial, and whoever's doing it says, what's in your wallet today? Yeah. Right? So I'm going to have to ask, what's in your mouth today? Jesus said, it's not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person. It's what comes out. When there's hatred in the heart, malice comes out. When there's jealousy in the heart, envy comes out. When there is hypocrisy in the heart, superficialness comes out. Where there is competition in the heart, slander comes out. We are all called to holiness. It ain't going to happen overnight. But you know, going back to those original verses, it says, be proactive. Pursue it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pursue it in the power of the Word of God. Let the Word of God be your GPS, if you will, and go from there. We have to write off in the church the spirit of spectating. This is not a sports event where you just go. And that, you know, that it's always cracked me up. And you know I'm a Yankee fan. I love sports. So, but, you know, when the Yankees win, the Yankees won. I had nothing to do with it. And yet people will say, we won. No, you sat, they won. And we bring that into the church. We have to stop being lazy as far as spiritual things are concerned. So I'm just going to ask, what's in your mouth today? And you're saying, Pastor, shut up. I want to get something in my mouth today. So I'm going to shut up. And I'm going to ask as the praise team comes up, that we prayerfully think about this passage in Peter. And we prayerfully ask the Spirit of God to help us to be a little bit more like Christ each and every day. Because you know why? Because He is holy. We're called to be holy.